If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, when I was young, and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young.
I'm intelligent in my own way. I'm people smart. It's really sad that you can't read, you know, other signs of intelligency. Is intelligence a word?
No, I don't have. When I listen to Never Would Play That.
And now.
Everyone's worrying and it's a mess. It's America Corporation. Hey, at least we're alive.
Our feature presentation.
She's got a point.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
I mean, we are alive.
Indeed.
And apparently we are America Corporation, which
right.
I wasn't, mm-hmm. didn't realize.
Heard that as well. Who knew?
All right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 6th of January.
So, where do we start? We do, from time to time, we have done that phone topic of you left a game early.
I would love to do that.
And I just wonder how many people in America, in the world, left the game early. You know, turned it off, went off, did something else.
Sure.
Figured it was over. We're gone. Allie, you were at a Super Bowl party.
I was indeed.
Were you, first of all, how did it go? Were you in the pen, as was described to us by your friend Michelle?
I went to a separate area, a pool house. To watch. There were four different areas to watch the game.
Okay. Holy
but
moly, this is some kind of house.
Oh, yeah. She's not joking around. But I was in the pool house, so I could still kind of walk out and be social with people on the grass.
Occasionally.
Right. But a lot of time in the pool house. Whole fourth quarter, though, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go with everybody in the big room. Just have to deal with it. Suck it up.
Maybe that's the reason.
Suck it up. Indeed.
Now, were you literally the only Patriots fan at the party?
There were three of us there, and then right. Josh left at halftime because he's like, I can't. I've got to go watch this at home. I've got to go be with my family. So he was out. So
well,
it was
in
me.
Dark times, you do need to turn to the loved ones.
I agree 100%. So it was me and a girl named Stephanie, and that was it at the whole party.
Now, you tweeted at one point that your gracious host would walk by and boo you.
Boo me, flip me off, would deny me beverages.
She's the best.
Yeah.
That's why I love her.
Yeah, it was
tortures you.
Quite the night.
And what happened afterwards then? What was your sweet revenge?
Well, she kept during commercials. She would do toasts to America and all that's right and hating the Patriot. Like, it was absurd, but it was funny because it was my friend, and I know she still kind of likes me a little. Mm-hmm. But it got real quiet in there. I mean, pin drop quiet. And people were afraid to, like, look at me, and I'm just looking around trying to make eye contact with everyone, like, what's up? What's going on? So it was interesting. Did I see it happening like that? Absolutely not.
Well, no one could have.
No. And then,
I mean, look, no matter how much you believed in that coach and that quarterback and that team, it was so beyond the bounds of what was historically ever accomplished before.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did they say no one's ever come back from more than 10 points? I mean,
yeah.
In the history of the Super Bowl.
It was pretty crazy.
And you just don't – I mean, no. No one.
No.
Except the players. I bet – don't
I
you feel
can't
like
even imagine – You know, players believe, and they believe in their teammates, and they believe they can do stuff. But I can't even imagine that most of them didn't have something inside their head going, this just isn't our day.
Yeah.
We've been trying for three quarters.
We've lost before. It's okay.
Yeah.
When you go in at halftime, and what was it at halftime? Was it 21 to nothing? Or was it 21 to 3? What was it?
I don't remember.
To 3, yeah.
So you go in at halftime, and I mean, there's still a lot of football left.
Right.
You know that it can be done, but you also know the team you have just seen for the first half is great.
Is
running in fast. They're in fast forward compared to you in that first
half. And your defense can't stop them.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you do then?
If people were like, well, you know Belichick and his halftime adjustments. I'm like, he can't tell them how to catch the ball.
Right.
They know how to catch it. What is happening with this team? And my God, could they all slip more? Like just running, and then all of a sudden they're on the ground. What was happening?
I don't know.
It was bizarre.
I thought Brady was off in that first half. He wasn't, you know, pinpoint, you know, terrific Tom like he usually is. But you're right. His receivers were not helping him out that much. And missing the extra point didn't help him out that much. I mean, what a difference that would have made, by the way, if he just would have got that extra point after the touchdown, you know? Yeah.
Part of what makes that kind of comeback the best is the immense suffering that you go through the first quarter. Like, you're miserable.
Yeah.
And that's why we would think people would want to leave because, well, I don't want to see this. This is going to be terrible. And then if you stick through it and you're that miserable, then it's so much sweeter when they actually come back and
pretty
win.
Sweet
redemption. And I bet there were people. I mean, the Super Bowl is that game that is the one football game a year that many Americans watch. Mm-hmm. And if it's a blowout, as it appeared to be deep into the third quarter, I bet there were a lot of people who turned off the TV or switched over to something.
And let's be honest, who was invested in that game except for a percentage of Atlanta and New England. No one else cared.
Right.
Everybody just wanted the Patriots to lose.
A good football game.
Right.
And that wasn't happening. Right. The Patriots weren't losing.
Yeah.
So, speaking of leaving, Donald Trump's having a Super Bowl party in the Winter White House in Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, did you see the interview that Bill O'Reilly did? He's going to play more of it on his show tonight. But did you guys see the one he aired yesterday? Did you see it, Ali?
I heard about it.
There's no chance he knew who the Patriots were playing in that Super Bowl.
None. Awesome.
The other team is good.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
They're asking for a prediction. I mean,
awesome.
He's all about – there's no chance. I would have been –
Did Bill O'Reilly pick up on that?
No.
He didn't.
Well, what could he say? Is Mr. President, do you know who they're playing? I
mean, no, but he could have said
gotcha journalism, right?
You know, the quarterback and just wait. Just wait
anyway,
for like a half hour.
He left his party, his own Super Bowl party that he was the host of at 28-3. And you saw that Mark Wahlberg left the stadium early too.
Yeah, he's saying his youngest kid was sick.
That's what he's saying. That's what I would say too.
All right, Mac.
It killed me. I hated to have to go, but my little one needed to go home.
Right.
Wouldn't you send
the kid home with your wife or something?
Yeah, exactly what you do. Because you know Mark Wahlberg, if they win, he's in the locker room with them, right?
Oh, sure.
So you don't walk away from that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll have time for it today, but I bet there were a lot of people, including a lot of Patriots fans, who just checked out, which is hilarious. Really?
That's funny. Mama Muggs would have never seen the end of that game.
No.
Right?
No,
she wouldn't. It would have been 7-0. She would have been out.
Well,
let's go eat Chinese food.
I want to now that we've heard the game as a Patriots fan, I'm very excited. I think a little after 6, let's have the King in and find out what it was like as a Falcons fan. Let's find out the highs and lows.
I like
how
Bean does this. Let's just find out. We're just going to ask questions. We don't know.
Well, no, I want to know what Dave's experience is like.
He's now that reporter in front of a fire. Your whole family's dead. How do you feel?
Especially
some
since
people say
he was sitting on a $350 ticket from Las Vegas if the Falcons won. By the way,
yeah.
I will say this about Dave. He tweeted me something lovely and texted me something lovely.
How about that?
I was very happy that Dave wasn't like, oh, that was awful.
Well, he probably thought that.
Sure.
But then he was nice
to
you.
It was awful for him, but he likes you. See, this is a real testament to you, Allie, that Dave and Michelle and so many other people are willing to be friends with you despite your Patriot fan deficiency. Yeah.
That's very sweet, yeah.
You mean the girl that wouldn't give her any food or drink?
Yeah.
That's the one you're saying is a friend of hers?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You do you. You do you.
Thank you.
You go, girl.
Thank you. We do have a Super Bowl recap, like we mentioned before. We have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Monday mornings. We're going to tell you about a new restaurant that's not Hooters, but it's Hoots.
Hoots?
Hoots. So you know what they've done is they've taken the sexiness out of Hooters. That's it. That's all they've done.
Oh, that's it.
Yep. And then it's a restaurant.
Oh.
Well, isn't it every other restaurant in the world now then?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that's maybe a good move.
All right.
We have other stuff too as well. I didn't look at what we were giving away. Oh, Lumineers. Talking about K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 2, Lumineers in Cape Town, South Africa.
Wow.
How about that? So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Welcome to a Monday morning here on K-Rock. Very excited. We got a celebrity in the studio. He is earning rave reviews as reporter number 2 in the Lego Batman movie. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Ralph Garman joins us. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to another rainy Monday.
Blech. Yeah, agreed.
Right?
Had enough of this.
Mondays are bad enough without dealing with this BS.
Right?
Well, we need it, so it's
all about. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about the Mondays, and we were talking last week about all the people calling sick after the Super Bowl. What was the number? Do you guys remember? It was some crazy amount of millions of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
400 million
16
people.
16 million, I want to say.
Sick. Something like that. Yeah. And I saw today in Britain that it is National Sickie Day, they call it. Apparently, the number one day that people call in sick is the first Monday in February. In the UK, completely unrelated because they don't really have, you know, the big Super Bowl thing happening the day before.
They didn't put a lot of work into the name.
National Sickie Day?
Yeah.
But that's interesting that it would be kind of a blah, kind of depressing, this again, on top of what, you know, people are already experiencing from, you know, maybe partying a little bit too much over the weekend, too. So it's going to be a rough day for a lot of people today, it looks like.
Yeah. Who enjoys someone's misery more than Bean, though?
Yep.
I can't wait to talk to Dave, see how his night went, see how he felt. Not only did his team lose the worst Super Bowl ever, but he had money on the game, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful.
I get no joy from that, by the way.
What do you mean you get no joy?
I get no joy from that. I wanted Dave to get that money from that bet. Believe me, I wanted the Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I'm
like
not happy.
You wouldn't have enjoyed
Dave.
That nearly as much as you're enjoying this morning and not waiting to talk to Dave.
Untrue. I thought it would be a good conversation to have on the air with somebody who's deeply invested in the Falcons and find out what that was like watching.
Yeah, what do you? All true. But the tone in your voice as you were describing it was a kid looking forward to Christmas morning.
Well, you missed
it. And what
that.
Do you think that experience was like for him?
I'm sure it was
three
I'm
quarters.
Sure,
it was fantastic. And
I'm sure it was
sucked.
Great until it wasn't.
Right.
I was so heartbroken for him. I couldn't comprehend what that feeling would be like. I couldn't even pretend to know what that experience must have been like for any Atlanta Falcon fan. Mm-hmm. Being as passionate as a fan as I am of my own teams, I was dumbfounded. I was as if it was like a death. That's the level of sadness I felt for those people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's football.
Yeah, but if you love your team, and it's not like it was a close game and we lost. Everybody's been through that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's been through this experience.
Nobody.
Before.
No team ever.
It was
ever.
An epic collapse. It was.
It was. I can't imagine if you're a lifelong Atlanta Falcon fan, what that must have been like.
Especially
my heart just broke for them.
Especially your, you know, on the cusp of your first Super Bowl ever, too. By the way,
yeah.
It's not like this is a team that's had a lot of success in the past, and this was going to be another ring. This was it.
Incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. My heart goes out to those folks. And my heart goes out to M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dong.
Because
Split, the success of Split, is going to cause him to make more movies. So I'm just saying, you know, we can't all win.
What a comeback!
Third week in a row, Split is number one at the box office, $14.6 million. And he did tweet over the weekend, "I have an 11-page outline for my next film in the bag. I can't tell you what it is, but if you've seen Split," signifying there's a sequel in the works. So.
Well, you...
That's right, and I.
You've heard about how Split ends, right?
Yeah, there's some sort of post-credit teaser.
It kind of folds into a previous movie that he made.
I don't know anything about it, but there's a sequel.
It doesn't affect us because we'll never see any of them.
Rings debuted at number two over the weekend for $13 million. A Dog's Purpose was third. Hidden Figures and La La Land were your top five movies at the box office. Resident Evil, the final chapter, was number six. Then Sing... Lion, The Space Between Us, debuted with $3.8 million, making it number 9. And XXX, The Return of Xander Cage, came in at number 10 with $3.7 million this weekend. I am so looking forward to the new Notorious B.I.G. Faith Hill album. I cannot tell you. I've never been a fan really
I'm
of
sorry,
either.
What?
But
I don't
this
think it's
is
Faith Hill.
Well, tell that to CNN. CNN made a big mistake on Friday when they revealed on Twitter that Faith Hill is releasing an album of duets with Notorious B.I.G. 20 years after his murder.
I would like to hear that as well.
Same. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate listening to that.
I mean, you'd like to listen to it for a couple of seconds, but then you'd
I'd
hate
rather
it.
Listen to Faith Evans, but right. Faith Hill, give me a couple.
Oh, Faith Evans. It turns out that is the name of the late B.I.G.'s wife. And that is who, in fact, will be releasing an album of duets with her husband, not Faith Hill at all.
Fake news.
So you can imagine Faith Hill's confusion.
Sure.
She saw that news. Although, to her credit, she did tweet, that sounds awesome. So, maybe there's hope. Maybe she'll be inspired and we'll get something different. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Newsman Tabraha. Tabraha is 80 years old today. He's still regular news. CNBC. On the political scene. Unbelievable that man was ever a TV news anchor.
Agreed.
He's still on, too. He's still part of the NBC news team. They still bring him out.
He still does the news?
He works no, he doesn't. On he's not the anchor anymore.
NBC. He works as the political correspondent and also the host of several documentaries. Axl Rose, singer for Guns N' Roses. 55 years old today. Rick Astley!
Rick Astley!
Oh, come on with the Rick Astley! Ah, never mind. And Dane DeHaan. Very talented young actor, Dane DeHaan. Celebrates his 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
As we mentioned earlier, destination number 2 of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 is in full effect today on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that means we're giving you tickets. This is, you know, we always have a great qualifying prize that you win. Like last week, it was Green Day at the Rose Bowl. Awesome, right? This is way more exclusive. This is K-Rock's private Grammy party with the Lumineers. Lumineers at the Grammy Museum on Friday. So this is something you can't even buy tickets to. And that's
I don't remember. Yes. I saw Muse there at that museum, and I think there's 150 seats,
yes.
Maybe.
Small,
super
yeah.
Small.
Very small.
So this is that's what you're going to win coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. And on top of that, you are eligible for the grand prize drawing, which is to see the band in Cape Town, South Africa. Although it wouldn't kill me if we spent a little bit more time getting Nelson Mandela out of jail and a little less time sending our rock bands over there to entertain people.
Yeah, he's out.
You lock up a dude for the rest of his life just for trying to do the right thing, man. Just fighting apartheid.
Out for a long, long time.
I don't know why we're supporting a government like... Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how'd it feel?
Oh, it's terrible. Any more questions?
So, Dave, back up a step because we are in Southern California. And explain to the kids, it's not as embarrassing as how Chip became a Dolphins fan, but how did you become an Atlanta Falcons fan of all teams?
Well, because we didn't have a team when I started following football in L.A. So I watched a lot of college football, and there was a player named Andre Rison who I really loved watching. And as soon as I said, whoever drafts him, you know, I will follow that team. And he went to the Colts and then got traded to Atlanta. So there it is.
But then at some point he left or retired or
Yeah. I mean, he got traded. Sure he went to Cleveland. But,
okay, so why didn't you go to Cleveland then?
Well, because I picked Atlanta and I said, that's going to be my team.
Huh. And you were invested in the other players and in the franchise and in their history at that point because it had been a few years, right?
Yeah.
And what's been the backstory on Matt Ryan? I haven't really paid much attention to him, but was his deal – he's been with the team for a long time, right?
Yeah, a couple of years now. And he was one of those quarterbacks where it was always – he's kind of good, but he's not that great. And then, you know, because he went to the NFC Championship a couple of years ago, and that's when they blew it against the 49ers, when they blew a 20-point lead.
Right.
So this one –
at least that didn't happen this time.
Yeah. So
because it was 25.
So that was kind of already on him. That was the monkey on his back as he's the guy who collapses in the big game, right?
Well, it's never really Matt Ryan because it's always the defense, but – you know, it was always he couldn't take him there. So, but this year when he won the MVP, you know, and had that great season, they were expecting big things.
And remember the first three quarters? Right? He did really well.
I was really happy for Matt Ryan the first three quarters. Right? He's a BC kid,
Matt Ryan did great. I mean, there was a couple of plays where the line missed some, well, Devontae Freeman missed that block and led to a fumble, which I think changed everything.
Yeah, so, well, that's the thing about this job, game is Devontae. There were so many plays that changed everything. You know what I mean? Like, so many things had to go the Patriots' way, and a lot of them were because of what the Patriots were doing. They were forcing these issues for the Falcons. So many – I mean, it could have so easily gone the other way. I mean, didn't you feel like, especially after that Julio Jones catch, which was unbelievable. There's
still amazing.
8 points up, you know, with so little time left. Didn't you feel that Atlanta was – millimeter away from being able to go for a field goal and put some extra points up that New England could never come back from.
That was the thought in my mind. I was like, all right, let's run a couple plays, get some time off the clock, and then kick that field goal, and we'll be good to go. We're in good shape. Yeah.
And they ended up losing yardage.
Oh, yeah. That's where they gave up a sack and a penalty, and then that was
– Is that good?
No, that's great.
I don't follow football that closely.
You know?
A penalty and – okay.
Yeah, holding penalty, not just any penalty, a holding one. So that was 10 yards from the spot of the foul. And,
yeah.
Where were you watching the game, Dave?
At home. I didn't want to go anywhere.
With anyone?
My girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just that's it. So.
Does she care? Is she a fan of Atlanta because of you are, or does she care at all?
I think she's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so it was anybody but Brady.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you stunned by that first half? Like, in your wildest dreams, could you ever have expected that? I mean, I think Joe Buck even said if you had told anyone that it would have been 21-3, they would have bet anything that it would have been the other way around.
Was I stunned? Yeah, a little bit, but I wasn't like, we got this in the bag, which was scary to think that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, because there's so much football to go.
Exactly.
But you had to be stunned how well it went in the first half.
Yeah, I was stoked.
That's crazy.
I mean, that defense was playing out of their mind. And as you could see, it took a toll on the rest of the game because they were on the field a lot. Like, the fact that Atlanta's offense wasn't on the field for an hour of actual time,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, Atlanta ran four offensive plays. A lot of people don't know that. That's all.
That's a stat. That's a fact.
But your team is in, and this is how I felt when the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl, is they still are a great team, and they're going to be competitive, and they're going to be back. It's not like
whatever
this wasn't,
you need to tell yourself.
I mean, look.
No, but I'm saying
I hope
this wasn't a Broncos situation, you know, where you knew you were losing your quarterback. You
yeah,
know what I mean, and you're bringing everybody back. Right?
It's crazy to try to get back to the Super Bowl back to back years, but I think we're going to lose our offensive coordinator. Because I think he's going to go coach the 49ers.
Do they want him now after the fourth quarter?
Right? Yeah, the defense is young. There was a lot of rookies and second-year players, so that's what I'm hopeful about. Matt Ryan's getting a little older, but you know, I still think that him and Julio Jones are going to be a good, you know, force on offense. And
I heard that quarterbacks can play well into their 40s.
Hey, look, we saw it, right? We saw it, so I'm hoping too.
Well, Dave, Allie was saying earlier, you were probably still asleep, that she was very touched by what a gracious fan you were in defeat after that game yesterday.
I was.
No, but you know what it was, guys? I blame it. It's all on Bean. Because
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, wait a minute.
Well, listen.
I'm good with that.
I didn't gamble the whole season. Didn't touch anything. Didn't gamble on this game. No games.
Right.
Who gives me a ticket?
What changed?
Boom. Kiss of death.
Oh.
Boom.
Oh no.
Oh, then he tweets out. Oh, well, Dave's sitting out on $350. Oh, boom. Kiss of death. Thanks a lot, Bean.
A listener tweeted to me, hey, because, you know, at this point it looked like Atlanta was going to win. He tweeted, hey, did you ever send Dave the ticket? He was wondering if I had hung on to it just in case, you know, it turned into some money. So I wanted to clarify that. I said, no, I sent Dave the ticket. He's sitting on $350 right now. You know,
yeah,
good job
or
something like that.
Yeah. Bad juju. Look, I even left it here in the
Hey, let's
station.
Leave religion out of this, by the way. I was just trying to give you a nice birthday present.
That's not what he's saying at all. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:21.
Was that Alien Ant Farm? Is
that
right?
That was Alien Ant Farm.
How about that?
Yep.
Monday morning means we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Harvey, were you one of the 100 million-plus Americans watching the game yesterday?
Well, I mean, everybody should have watched that game. That was the most incredible thing. It was the most amazing game I've seen.
Yes.
There is a raging debate going on in our newsroom. People think I don't know what I'm talking about because, you know, Donald Trump didn't even finish the game because he assumed the Falcons were going to win. Jeezy left the stadium before it was over. And I personally felt that this game was over when it was 28-3 or 28?
Yes, that's right, 28-3.
Well, I think everybody did. But
well into the third quarter, right?
Well, Evan and all these guys in my office are saying nobody ever counted Brady out. I think that's wrong.
Yes, Evan is wrong. There are lots of people who thought Tom Brady was a great quarterback, but no one can come back from that.
Evan looks incredulous right now.
Well, I mean, look. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean,
here's the thing. Who would you believe out of everyone in the NFL could do it if they had to? Brady.
Yeah, great. Well, hey, tell him to stop yelling.
They said stop yelling.
But, I mean, Allie, did you counted Brady out, right?
Absolutely.
It was over.
Absolutely.
It was over, Harvey. You're right.
But having said that,
the Wall Street Journal actually did some kind of an analysis, and they said it was like a 99% chance Brady was going to lose at some point. And if they're right, all the guys were saying that no team has ever overcome a 10-point deficit to go on and win.
Right.
More than 10, right. Yeah.
It was amazing. No,
absolutely.
It was amazing.
It was history, and it was history in the making. I mean, it was – and the fact that there had never been an overtime before in the Super Bowl was astonishing to me after 50-plus games. I mean, look, everything about that performance was incredible. It was one of the greatest sports performances of all time. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, period. There's no more discussion.
But can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Didn't it kind of just sneak up on you that – you know, they were so far behind that even when they scored, you still didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, you know.
And all of a sudden, it changed and everything was going their way.
It was, yeah, it was exactly right. What Kevin said, it's everything had to go their way because they not only had to score, then they had to get the two-point conversion. Then
right.
They had to score again. Then they had to get that two-point conversion, all while making it so that Atlanta couldn't score. And Atlanta had been scoring all day. So
yeah.
Everything was working against them. It was amazing. Hey, what did you think of Lady Gaga, Harvey?
I thought she was fantastic. I thought that is what the Super Bowl halftime should be. I thought, I don't know, it was choreographed great. I mean, the way she kind of like dove into the stadium, I thought it was, I loved it. And I wasn't sure I was going to like it. I thought it was amazing.
I did too, and I will tell you, and I'd love to read more about how they did those drones behind her in the sky and all those various patterns and changing colors that made it look like stars, and they went to red, white, and blue or whatever it
yeah.
was. I mean, that was phenomenal technology, and it was filmed so beautifully.
What did you think of Luke Bryan's national anthem?
Boring.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. There was nothing exceptional about it in my mind. What did you guys think?
I don't really judge the national anthem.
Every once in a while, you'll see somebody who'll blow you away.
But that's the exception. Almost all the time, it's just the rule.
The standard, yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Did you like Luke?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It was fine. I mean,
I liked the whole game. This was one where I loved every minute of that of the broadcast. Every minute. I thought it was just great.
All right, let's talk about one more thing. Harvey Levin on the line, like we do Mondays from TMZ.com. And if there was any controversy going into this game, it was the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, versus the New England Patriots. Now, just as a brief reminder, Deflategate happened. There were a lot of penalties on the Patriots, including having to sit their quarterback for four games. So it was sweet, sweet revenge for them to overcome that and come back and win the Super Bowl. And then Roger Goodell has to hand the trophy to Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots.
That was pretty sweet.
And Harvey, I know you noticed how much booing there was.
Noticed? I didn't hear Goodell.
Here's that. This was my favorite moment of the game right here.
It's all I was waiting for.
Listen to him try to be heard in the stadium in Houston while everybody in the stands is booing him.
That's what NFL football is all about. Robert, you know how hard these are to get.
He's talking to Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots. And by the way, he is trying to just go on gamely.
Power through.
There's no way he can't. How does he even hear himself?
But the thing that made it worse, I think, was he was followed immediately by Kraft. So you can't, I mean, you think these are all boos, but you don't realize how much they're booing until it immediately goes to cheers when Kraft comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like you see the kind of point counterpoint.
And yes, and the other thing,
unbelievable.
The other thing about that is that a lot of times, what you hear on TV is not nearly what it sounds like.
In
the stadium, it must have just been deafening.
Here's the contrast. This is Robert Kraft now. He's just gotten the trophy, and now he's going to address the situation with Roger Goodell as well.
2 years ago, we won our fourth Super Bowl down in Arizona. And I told our fans that was the sweetest one of all. But a lot has transpired during the last 2 years. And I don't think that means... explanation.
No, no explanation necessary.
Back in his hotel at that point.
He was so running
he
off.
He ran.
Yep.
So is Brady totally vindicated now?
I don't know, Harvey, what most people think, but to me, that whole thing was a scam. So he's never taken a knock from me. I don't care. He's been great.
It's like you can't deny he's the best quarterback.
I mean,
ever.
You can't.
He's 39 years old,
yeah,
too,
I know,
by the way.
I know.
It's astonishing.
Son
it really
of a bitch.
So he's better than everybody.
What does he do now?
He goes out and wins another one next year. That's what he does.
For 3 more years.
He wins another Super Bowl.
God, you almost want to go out now, you know? I don't know. I mean, probably not. I mean
if, look, I don't think any... I have something in my throat, sorry. I don't think anyone would blame him if he retired after this unbelievable career, but that's what he does. He's a professional athlete. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He wants to do it again. You have to drag those guys off the field, Harvey.
Yeah,
you know how that works.
Yeah.
He's great stuff and so much coverage on TMZ.com of all the aspects of the game and the celebrities that were there. And this $20 million house that Lady Gaga stayed in Houston for free, by the way, is amazing to see that portfolio on your site as well. TMZ.com. Look for TMZ all over the Channel 11, Fox throughout the day, TMZ Live at 4, TMZ Sports Monday through Friday on Fox Sports 1, and TMZ.com for the tickets for the tour as well. Harvey, great chatting with you, my friend. We'll do it again next week. Thanks.
Okay, guys. See you.
Talking about the Super Bowl a lot, obviously. A lot of stuff happened. There was one moment that I laughed out loud at, and I don't know if you saw these guys. The Schuyler sisters, did you see them? The ladies from Hamilton that came out to sing America the Beautiful?
No.
Yes.
Allie, you see them?
Yes.
And they surprised a lot of people because they changed the words of America the Beautiful. Here's what they sang.
Shed his grace and crown thy good with brotherhood. Sisterhood.
So they added sisterhood to the song, and you hear the crowds going crazy. Okay, nice moment. The camera cuts to Bill Belichick standing on the sidelines in his hoodie, and he looks like he's sleepwalking. The look on his face, like everybody's going crazy. He could have been anywhere doing anything with that look on his face.
But isn't that 24/7 his look?
It does seem like he is so... How do you describe it? Is it emotionless? Emotionless. He's a robot. Or he's just so zen. He just so is in his own lane doing the only thing that matters to him, which is coaching a team. And everything else he has no time for.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He had no interest in anything else that was going on. And I thought that when I saw him, you know, all the dumb people who came up and asked him questions at Media Day, too. He just has so little time for that. But at least today, winning yet another Super Bowl, he's got to be ready to cut loose a little bit and enjoy himself. And we couldn't be more happy to welcome the greatest football coach of all time, Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots, back to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Hey, Coach, how are you, sir?
Good.
Congratulations. How you feeling today?
Pretty good.
Where are you right now, Coach?
Practice.
Practice?
Practice? You're done. The season's over. You won the Super Bowl.
We're on the next season.
But take a day.
You
don't
give him one day.
We're on the next season.
Just a single day.
We're on the next season.
Right.
Right. But isn't it time now to relax?
We're on the next season.
Right.
But you can sleep
We're on
in.
The next season.
Okay. What'd you tell the team at halftime last night when they went in with that tremendous deficit against the Falcons? How did you inspire them to come out and do that amazing comeback?
Play hard.
But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like that had to be something pretty inspirational for him to come out and turn the entire game around.
Play harder.
Play harder.
Okay. And what do you think the secret was? What was it that enabled you to be able to have that tremendous comeback? A lot of things had to go your way.
Scored more points.
Right.
Indeed.
Right.
Yeah.
Did do that.
All right. After the game, let's ask you a question about this because it
We're on
looked
our next season.
Right. But it looked like
We're
just
on our next season.
Right, but just last night. Let him ask a question about last night.
It looked like when everybody was booing Roger Goodell, you actually cracked a smile.
I'd guess.
It wasn't particularly sweet because of what had gone on with Deflategate.
I already answered that.
You have gas, Kevin.
How long do you see...
We're on the next season.
Right.
Okay, this is a question about the future. Coach, how long do you see doing this job? I mean, you could retire at any time and go out, you know, with such a bang.
Such a bang.
Meaning,
right?
Why not enjoy yourself? You're not a young man. get out of the day-to-day 365-days-a-year job and just relax a little bit and have some fun, spend some of that money.
Mm-hmm.
Coach?
Yeah.
You ever think about retiring?
Sure.
Tell us about that.
Sometimes I think about retiring.
But I mean, is there any kind of
is there any kind of timetable?
We're on the next season.
Right.
If you did retire, what would you do?
Party clown.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Greg writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm surprised that no one has mentioned the fact that Kevin started the show today by saying it was January 6th.
Yeah.
January 6th. Mm-hmm. Or is that such a minor flub on the Kev Dog scale that it's no longer worth mentioning? The truth is, we've just we've become resistant. I don't know why we don't even hear it anymore.
That's fine. It's good.
Didn't even hear it.
I think we speak Kevin now.
Here's what happened. Is usually I have a paperwork that has the show in front of me and has the date on the top of it, and Beer Mug slept in, so I didn't have that. So
so unless it's written down in front of you, you got nothing.
No, in my mind, the only problem that I had was it's the 5th, 6th, 7th, so I guess 6th, and I was like,
and
yes.
Like, nailed it.
So I didn't think at all about January or February.
Is it 1978? Do you have a guess as to what year you think it might be?
I'm just saying. I wasn't sure.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. We appreciate it, Greg.
We're not good is the answer to your question. Ralph is here now. He's good. He's got the showbiz beat here for a Monday. What's happening?
It is a Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in the movies over the weekend. Lackluster box office usually associated with Super Bowl weekend because there's a lot of stuff going on. But Split came out victorious yet again for the third week in a row. It was number one with $14.6 million. Rings debuted to $13 million, making it number two. 7 days. 7 days. 7 days. A Dog's Purpose was third. $10.8 million. Hidden Figures and La La Land were the rest of the top five. Then Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, Sing, Lion, The Space Between Us. Nobody cares about the love life of a guy born on Mars. That's what we found out this weekend. $8.3 million made it number nine. And Xander Cage's return in XXX came in at number 10. Apparently, it's okay to like A Dog's Purpose, Allie. You're okay. You're all right.
According to
news sources who have done some research into that video that surfaced of the German Shepherd Hercules being forced into rushing water, apparently some research has shown that the American Humane Society, which was there on the set at the time, said that the video was edited and mischaracterized the events on the set.
Oh, Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
That Hercules, in fact, was chosen for that stunt because it loves water.
But how do they edit the video to show a person pushing him into the water, though?
Well, it was the wrong side of the water. Apparently, Hercules was not familiar with doing the stunt from that side.
Right.
And he's just resistant to the change in his ritual, more so than the water itself. The American Humane Society also says the party that released that video must have captured the video, spliced it down, waited 15 months to release it, and then released it just days before the film's release. Oh. The timing of the release of the video also brings into question the motivations behind the release of that.
Yeah, that was awful. Clearly, this person wasn't concerned for the animals on set if he held on to it until the movie was coming out.
Official findings show no animals were harmed. Numerous preventative safety measures were in place, and the organization believes that the footage was leaked to mislead the public and stoke outrage.
So I can see it.
So, fake news, in other words.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Got it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Entertainment Tonight ranked the Super Bowl commercials from last night. I don't know if you guys watch the commercials or not. A lot of people do. So this is not audience reaction. Keep in mind, this is just the folks over there at that show saying this is what they thought.
Puppy monkey baby.
I haven't seen the fan results yet, but here are their choices. First of all, I'm already off this list because they have 15th, the Justin Timberlake Christopher Walken commercial, which I enjoyed enormously. But they only have it at 15th. At number 14th was Bush. Because that sound lasted for a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
When he opened up a can of beer. Who's bringing Bush beer back, by the way, in 2017? Do we really need Bush? Has Bush been on our radar?
We'd all be good if only Bush would come back.
I'd love to have one of these beers here at this bar, but they don't seem to be carrying Bush, which was my favorite beer.
Now, forgive me for this is not my area, Ralph. Is Bush very different from Budweiser? They're just variations of the same.
I don't know if any beer can be very different from another beer, but it's just another brand of beer, American domestic beer.
All right.
But it's just it was popular at one time.
I don't feel like anyone's clamoring for it.
Right.
In the 70s, and I don't think anyone really mourns its loss, but apparently it's back. Let's see, other popular commercials at number 11, that Budweiser Born the Hard Way commercial where it shows Bush making his way to the New World from Germany.
I like that
getting
one.
His head all stitched up and stuff because his boat was a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'. The Snickers Live commercial with Adam Driver at number 8. Did anybody get that or appreciate that at all?
It was boring. There's nothing to it. There's no advantage to it being live either. The only reason it was live is so that Adam Driver could say the score at the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. Pointless otherwise.
You ruin live commercials when you're hungry, Kevin.
Mm.
You don't get it,
man. Yeah. I was getting something to eat during that one.
Mr. Clean, who looked like he was going to bone that lady, he was number 7.
Mr. Clean's pretty hot, if I could just say so.
That was the takeaway of America last night.
Skittles being thrown through the window and into the open mouths of a family.
That was funny.
Number 6, was it?
Yeah, that was funny.
Okay.
You haven't mentioned any of my favorites yet. I'm eager to see if they make the list.
Well, if you liked Skittles, I think we're all in for a world of hurt.
Well, apparently a lot of other people did too.
Ford Go Further was 5th. I don't even know what that one was.
I don't either.
Yeah. Jeffrey Tambor. Cleaning people's clothes.
That was Terry Bradshaw with the stain. Remember?
Yeah.
A cart into his yard.
Mm-hmm. That was 4th on their list. T-Mobile with freaking Justin Bieber. They listed as 3rd. I wanted to blow my television up during that commercial. I wanted to go out, buy dynamite, bring it back, light it, and throw it at my television. How obnoxious is that punk? Buick with Cam Newton and Miranda Kerr.
I like that.
If that's
one.
A Buick, my son's Cam Newton. Blink! He is Cam Newton because that's a Buick! See what they've done?
But that throw.
It's magical!
And the kid into the end zone.
Oh, there was a throw and a kid. You got me there.
That's
good.
True. I like that one.
And then Drive Progress, Audi, saying that they pay the women in their company the same as they pay the men, which is a novel idea. I think its time has come, perhaps.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So Audi came in at number 1 on their list, so congratulations.
I wish I knew what she was advertising, but how about the Melissa McCarthy commercial where she's out saving the North Pole and then saving the whales and then saving the rhinos?
That was for a new hybrid car. I can't
That's
remember
right.
what
for Kia. I think it was for Kia.
Was it Kia? Yeah.
That was a very funny commercial.
Yes,
and how about
was.
The Kristen Schaal commercial for T-Mobile where she's kind of having a sexy time talk with the person, the customer service person on the other end. It was very funny as well.
Can you not call it sexy time talk?
Let's move on.
That was a very funny ad.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Brokaw, 77 years old today. Axl Rose turns 55. Dane DeHaan, 31 years old today. He's got that new creepy movie coming out, the cure that ills, or find the cure, the look out for the cure.
I haven't seen that one.
Don't take the cure. The
cure for wellness.
Cure for wellness! Kevin came up with that of his head?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no.
Dave said it in your ears?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's, I should have known better. Scary for a moment.
Threw you off?
And Rick Astley! Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. 51 years old today, I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later this hour to talk more Super Bowl. And don't forget, keep on listening for Lumineers tickets at the K-Rock Private Grammy Party this Friday night at the Grammy Museum. And you're qualified to see them in Cape Town, South Africa. That's like on a whole other continent, you guys. It's K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 2. Get all the details at krock.com.
Right now it's time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. This guy is doing a parody of Last Resort by Papa Roach.
Break the blood down!
I can't answer why.
All right.
Here's one for you, Bean.
You, Bean. You, Bean. Bean, you. You asshole, Bean. You. Hi, Ellie.
All right, at least we're not all losers. You know, some context if you're leaving a complaint about anything in particular.
I think that one was just in general.
Just in general.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking about leaf blowers a lot because they are super rude. Bean hates them for that reason. I love them for that reason.
Oh, yeah. Making ruckus in my neighborhood. Blowing the leaves in my neighbor's yard. Fuck it, Bean.
Would this be a good time to mention you should go to KRock.com and see Kevin annoys you with the leaf blower edition?
Sure. Yeah, it's good times.
Kevin brings it indoors and takes it around the building.
I bring it where it needs to be cleaned up, Bean.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with that? You don't need to call with everything.
I just got out of a meeting at work, and I had a fart the whole time. I had to hold it for 2 hours. Have you ever held a fart for 2 hours? My intestines were literally crying. Now I'm in my car just letting them rip.
Oh, my God.
Here's somebody's idea for the beginning of our show.
Hey, guys, it's Chance. I just figured you guys should get a better intro. Welcome to an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I mean, please?
Not terrible, right?
It works for Wendy.
It does work for Wendy. It works well for Wendy somehow.
You get a lot of that on the social media last night, Allie, when Lady Gaga?
I did. Allie, who's performing right now? Yeah, I know. It's Lady Gaga.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Lady Gaga!
Thank you.
Allie is obsessed with certain people. One of them is Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Allie, I heard you just say that you'd let Liam Neeson plow your driveway. Do you know what he would do to your driveway? He would literally take a giant stick of dynamite, shove it into your driveway so far and blow it to bits that you wouldn't even know you used to have a driveway.
I have heard he has a huge snowplow. I have heard that.
And you'd be fine with that.
I mean, give me a chance. Give me a shot, Liam.
We also were talking about things that drive you crazy. For Mugs, it was chalk. For the King of Mexico, it was fuzzy. For Allie, it was fuzzy, but only certain things like fuzz on the outside of a peach. She loves a peach.
Yeah.
She just doesn't love the fuzz.
Hey, Allie. Guess what? There's no fuzz on my peaches. You know what I'm saying?
No, sir. Oh, my God.
All right. I just want to say this is painful. This actually happened to me. I did get locked out of a house where we were having a party. And Bean said, did you call somebody on the inside? And I said, nope, never occurred to me.
Hey, guys. Longtime listener. I absolutely love you. However, when I was listening to today's show, my boyfriend overheard the part about Kevin being locked outside and not thinking to call someone and creepily standing by a door. And my boyfriend started making fun of me, saying that you guys are fake because, quote, no one can be that effing stupid. So I'm going to need Kevin to step it up and stop being so dumb so it's more believable and doesn't sound so fake. So can you be better and less of whatever it is that you are? Thanks. Love you.
First of all, I love you. Kevin, if I recall correctly, you had your phone with you, and you used it to take pictures of the view.
That's true.
On the balcony where you were locked out of the house from.
That is true, Bean.
Yet did not occur to you with the phone in your hand to maybe use the function that is also available where you can telephone somebody to say, hey, come let me in.
You can use a cell phone to telephone somebody?
Apparently so.
That is one of the options, yes. Weird. That's bizarre. Here's Ralph talking in showbiz.
And Orange is the New Black won for Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series.
Dumb.
What's funnier than Orange is the New Black?
Deep.
Oh, that's right.
I got a question for you, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is the New Red?
Did I say Orange is the New Red?
Orange is the New...
No.
Green?
You said black.
What's happening?
What's going on? Is Bean stroking?
We don't know what you're saying.
I don't know. I just thought you guys loved the little orange juice song so much. I thought that would be a perfect fit.
To start the I Love Orange?
Because orange is the new red. No. Orange is the new green. No. Orange is the new black. Yay!
Bean,
I thought everybody would be all excited. I'm trying to play along. Trying to get on board. You can't beat them. Join them.
Oh, my
But everything up to this point is rhymed with "I like orange juice."
Trying to have some fun.
I like that you're trying to get involved.
Because everybody else loves that little dumb little stupid song.
I liked as a little kid that you went to a Major League Baseball game and you tried to hit the pitch. You went out there and you swung, and I like it. But no.
Hey, Bean, just wanted to let you know that orange is not the new green or the new red. Orange is actually the new shut the f*** up. Oh, my God. Take your head out of your ass and just stop talking. God, you guys still pay this guy to show up every day.
Can't he leave his head in his ass and stop talking?
I feel like that's best.
That's probably best.
And what it do, nephew? Kevin and Bean, I know you can help me with this. I need some help. How do you make a mimosa?
Mimosa.
It's champagne and apple juice?
No.
I hate him.
Tomato juice? No.
That's how you
no.
do it, Bean.
Carrot juice? No. Orange, yes, orange.
See how that's done?
Well done, sir.
Mango juice? No. Milk? No. Orange? Yes, orange! I like orange juice.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
No
still
H.
Afro with an H?
There's no H.
Half row?
It's silent.
Nope. 323-520-AFRO.
Remember last week on the show when Ralph brought up the, he was very distraught by the great bacon shortage of 2017.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he was bringing us up to speed with the latest from the Ohio Pork Council, which Kevin immediately asked, what does the IPC have to say about it? Because, you know, Ohio Pork Council is the IPC. And apparently there's a great deal of controversy because they had been in the news talking about how we were at the lowest recorded levels of pork bellies being available since 1957 and that they put up a website about the bacon shortage. But then it was revealed that none of that is true. There is no bacon shortage.
Fake news.
It was fake news, and it was just to call attention so that people would start talking about it. I'm sure they thought, hopefully, hoarding bacon. That's how you sell a lot of it, is to tell people it's in short supply. So I believe we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave if you could get us anybody from the IPC, and he reminded us it was actually the Ohio Pork Council. And Doug Miller joins us on the show right now. Hello, Mr. Miller. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good. Well, we're doing fine. You're with the Ohio Pork Council.
That's right, the IPC.
And is there – forgive me for asking, but is there enough to do in your business to have an entire Ohio Pork Council? Like, that's a full-time job for you guys?
Oh, yeah. We're in Ohio. We're all about pigs. We mm-hmm. are all about the pork. And we're now with other people's pork, you know, OPP. We are concerned with it all the time, and it's an important part of our day, and that's why we're trying to get the word out to people that please remain calm. There is no bacon shortage, and everyone who is panic, please, it's okay. Remain calm. Go back to your families and your homes, and it seems like we have averted a disaster.
But isn't it your group, the Ohio Pork Council, that put out that information?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think there must be some mistake.
Well, it sounds like your organization started a website called BaconShortage.com, which would suggest that you were trying to put that out there in the public so people would buy more of your product.
Oh, no.
What?
That's not what happened.
No, it's Bacon Short Age.
Bacon short age?
It's been a short age since I've had some bacon, I was thinking to myself.
Mm. And that makes sense to you?
You don't want too much time to go by.
Right, that's not
in between your bacons. So you right, say, it's been a bacon short age.
That's not an expression, though. That's not a thing. Nobody
sure
talks
is.
Like
that. Oh,
no,
yeah, it is.
No, nobody
yeah,
talks
everybody
like that,
Everybody says
Doug.
It.
It's not a thing.
Oh, it's been a bacon short age, hasn't it, Steven? Yes, it has, my friend. Let's have some bacon, because we don't want a bacon long age.
Again, not an expression, and it just sounds like you were just trying to fool people into buying more bacon.
No, that's ridiculous. We It's a bacon shortage.
I've heard that.
Old chum, old sport.
No one says that.
That's... Well, there's plenty of bacon.
Right. Right.
Plenty of pigs in Ohio, and you want some bacon? Anybody want some bacon?
I will.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
I got some right now. I just put it up there. Who wants some? Who wants bacon?
I didn't think it was that fresh.
Allie McKay.
I didn't think it was that fresh. Wow.
There we go.
I mean,
look at all the bacon. Oh. We got nothing but bacon now.
No.
It's everywhere.
No.
I'm knee deep in bacon right now.
Oh, I don't love it. No.
Are you like it raw or are you cooking it?
I'm not. I don't. No. Nope.
Oh, it's been a shortage since we've had some bacon, my friend. There we go. Now we got some. Who wants bacon?
Nobody.
You guys want some bacon?
No,
thank you.
What am I going to do with all this then? Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's been a shortage.
Right.
Hey, we always look forward to, on Mondays during the football season, talking to our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of DirecTV's Red Zone channel and Up to the Men on the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 1, but never more so than today, because I feel like our superlatives are not enough to really drive home what a remarkable Super Bowl we saw yesterday. Andrew, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, how was that game, guys? What do you think?
I mean, the first three quarters were dull.
I mean, you tell us, Andrew, what was going through your mind while you were watching that game?
Honestly, it kind of snuck up on me. I was just trying to tell Dave off the air there and trying to console him, although I talked too much about myself and not enough about his feelings. is the fact that everybody in the building was planning what they were doing afterwards to celebrate the Falcons' victory. I mean, the game was over. I kind of just looked up and said, wait a minute, the math now works. You know, and obviously when Dante Hightower sacked Matt Ryan, got the ball away, then everything truly changed. But even when Julio Jones caught that ball, maybe quite possibly the greatest catch in the history of the Super Bowl, until Julian Edelman did.
There you go.
Right. Seconds later, right.
The Julio Jones play was right in front of me, and you saw it happen in real time. Yep, he caught it, and holy wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Wow, is holy wow a thing?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I know, it I was going to curse, and I realized that I'm still on the radio here. But the game's over at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, run the ball three times. You know what? I was talking to a former running back last night after the game who said, I would have taken three knees at that point.
Huh.
Just
to run clock?
Just kick the field goal, go up 11, the game's over.
Over, right. That's all they had to do.
And they didn't. Two former players and a former coach last night told me after the game, just run the stinking ball three times and the game is over.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't.
How does that affect Kyle Shanahan's job with the 49ers? They still want him, right? Because it's still a big improvement over what they have, right?
He has the job. Jed York was here in the building yesterday. It's his job. They'll announce it probably tomorrow. Yeah, he will.
It's just not quite as exciting.
Yeah, it's over. Listen, Kyle Shanahan is an amazing play caller. If you ask people around the league, him, Scott Linehan in Dallas, Josh McDaniels here for the Patriots, they're probably the three best play callers right now. Mm-hmm. Kyle has an edge to him, a little bit of a... he's a jerk. How about that?
Well, I mean,
if you meet him, you wouldn't think he is, but he is. In work settings, he takes it seriously and takes it personally, and sometimes that rubs off or rubs people the wrong way. I say that jerk as a term of affection.
Sure, you know, yeah, we all know that. We all use that.
Compare his demeanor to that of Bill Belichick. But if you were out with Kyle Shanahan, if you have lunch with him, you'd love the guy. He's going to be a very, very good head coach. I think it's a good hire. It's a very good hire. But at the very end, it fell apart.
We were talking about this earlier, Andrew, and I don't know, and you know, you've been around a lot of football players for a long time. So you tell us if you can get inside the heads of what the Patriots must have been thinking in the locker room at halftime. Look, they knew that they still had a lot of football still to play, but they were so soundly trounced in that first half. There had to be a tiny bit of doubt in every one of them that they were able to overcome to go out and do everything right.
I mean, you would think there would have to be. They
have to be.
But thanks for switching it back to them. We're not talking about the Falcons. We have to praise the Patriots for the greatest comeback in the history of this game. And any game. It is the biggest stage. I mean, any game at any time, you will never see what the
Patriots just did. And
what percentage of that would you say is the Falcons' fault, and what percentage is they just didn't have any choice because of what the Patriots did?
I would say plenty of it goes on the Falcons. However, I will never, ever take praise away from a team that was down 28-3 with 2 minutes remaining in the third quarter of the championship game. There were 267 regular season games, or no, games played, period. 267 games played in the league this year. That was the greatest, and that was the greatest comeback against the greatest odds by the greatest player perhaps this league has ever, ever seen.
And he's 39 years old, by the way, and Allie was saying earlier that they're talking about signing him for another 3 years, right?
Yeah, so here's the interesting part.
He should just keep up with those first four games, just sitting out to prolong his career.
Take a break.
It worked.
The talk all week was, what's the end game? The talk around town here. What's the end game? How does Brady exit, and will Belichick ever pull the trigger and ship him out? Because he's done it to everyone else. And I'm not trying to say that he wants to somehow hurt Tom Brady. No, quite the opposite. He's a businessman. I also don't think Belichick will coach beyond Brady.
Absolutely.
Right. So are they both going to get together and leave at the same time, do you think?
I think they will. But that's only my gut. I can't. I'd be lying to you if I told you I had any insight from either guy. That's just my gut. But
hey, Andrew, I got another question while we're praising Brady and Matt Ryan, who had a great game to a point as well. Do you think they should wait to name the MVP of the season until after the Super Bowl? Because if they had waited 2 days for that award, it would have gone to Tom Brady instead of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. People always bring that one up. The MVP is strictly the MVP of the regular season. Everyone knows that's what the award is. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady just was handed his MVP of the Super Bowl trophy about 20 minutes ago, and he walked off with that and a Lombardi as well. So those are nice parting gifts.
Yeah, I feel like he's doing all right.
The By the way, he says that his jersey still has not been found. You know, someone stole his jersey.
Oh, now that's interesting, because we were seeing conflicting reports. We saw, I think TMZ reported earlier, that it was like an equipment manager or something like that who secured it for him so that it wouldn't go missing. But you're saying that's not the case.
He was just asked. About 25 minutes on the podium, he did his handshake with Roger Goodell and a photo op, and it didn't look as awkward as everyone thought it would. And they asked about the jersey, and he never said it was or wasn't found. They asked if they found it, and he said, well, yeah, you know, it would have been a nice one to have. So he seemed to suggest that they have not in any way found his jersey. And someone said, would you have given it to your ill mother? Who was there. Great to see his mother there yesterday. First game she had been to all year. She was battling cancer. And he said, he kind of shrugged his shoulders, and it would have been nice to have, but you know what?
he can't just go with, yeah, I would have given it to my mom, true or not.
He said it would have been nice to have.
Come on.
They play it pretty close to the vest there in New England, don't
even
they?
Even if it's a lie, say yes.
but he said it's nice to have the other two trophies. By the way, Belichick did say that he is going to change the name of his boat now to Seven Rings.
I thought he gave his boat away to charity last week, the powerboat. Did he buy a new one?
He has a boat named Six Rings.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you include the ones he has with as an assistant, and so he's changing it to seven. I don't know, maybe he has multiple boats.
Before we run out of time, Andrew, we do want to talk one more time about Roger Goodell on the stadium and everybody there booing him. It was pretty spectacular.
You know, most commissioners now get booed.
Well, a lot of them deserve it. Gary Bettman deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Gary Bettman gets booed when he goes to Tim Hortons.
Yep.
I mean,
he
gets booed everywhere.
Right.
Rob Manfred gets booed now, the baseball commissioner. Bud Selig gets booed everywhere other than Milwaukee. And Roger Goodell gets booed as well because the Falcons fans have left.
Sure.
The Patriots fans were the only ones left.
All right, I have held my tongue about the most important thing that happened all weekend long, Andrew, and I don't care if everybody else tunes out, but I got to ask, how was the Taylor Swift show on Saturday night?
Oh, you go straight to hell.
Andrew and I are Taylor buddies, and he was there, and I want to hear about it.
I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
I took so much grief.
You should.
And you shouldn't have.
A picture of Taylor Swift. And you know what? If you don't like Taylor Swift, and you want to say that I need to give up my man card or my pro card, you know what? Go get a life.
Thank you. Thank you. And she's a great entertainer, right? It looked like a fun show from what I saw.
It was a fantastic show. It always is.
All right.
Always.
Good.
I just gave something away. Yeah.
You need to give up your man card.
How dare you. While we're talking to pop princesses, though, how was Lady Gaga in the stadium? It was phenomenal on TV with all those drones in the sky doing their nonsense. Was it amazing to be sitting there in the stands watching it?
Yeah, it was truly a great halftime show, and nothing went wrong because, remember, this is the building where Janet Jackson, you know, had that
one. Sure, right.
So
what happens? You go into some downtime on the NFL Network. Obviously, there's a lot to break down this week, and you know. But what happens to you now as we get into spring?
Well, Up to the Minute continues. Our daily show is going to continue at least through the draft. I will have a little bit of time off in February, but Up to the Minute is going to be on every day at 1 o'clock Pacific. And free agency is right around the corner. The first week of March, the combine right before that. It never ends. We're like,
when is preseason for the rest of us that didn't make the Super Bowl?
Exactly. The preseason, well, training camp starts in July. OTAs right. are in May. We're inside of 80 days now to the draft on April 27th.
There you go, Kevin. There's something for Cardinals fans.
Ends.
There's something.
It never ends.
All right, Andrew, we can't thank you enough. We know how busy you are, especially during the season, that you make time every week to join us for the breakdown. And we really appreciate it. I hope we'll see you soon. All right, man?
Taylor Swift was magical.
All right, we got
to
go.
Happy
sorry
to hear that.
You're breaking
Thanks,
up.
Andrew.
What's happening with Allie?
I think we've lost her.
Do you guys know what's happening with her?
Yeah, she's got teeth here.
We yeah,
got
you know, teeth here. Like
I can hear you guys.
Hey,
through your teeth?
Through my teeth.
That's cool.
Are you picking up K-Rock in your dental?
But something weird is happening with my ear where I'm literally, like, it. My teeth hurt, but it's jetting through my ear. I can't explain it.
Is it jetting or jutting?
Jutting. Did I say jetting?
I thought you had a plane in your head, too.
I didn't sleep much. And,
oh,
yeah.
That sounds like a stroke
to you today.
A tumor or something.
Does it?
Could
yeah,
be.
Wow.
Bean always goes to the worst.
I feel like, this could be your last hour.
Right.
Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday, but before we do that, we do have an announcement to make. All last week, we gave away tickets to go see Green Day at the Rose Bowl, and we promised you a grand prize drawing today to send somebody to Australia.
Australia!
Here is Kevin with the announcement of who that winner is.
The winner lives in San Pedro. His name is James Steffi.
Yay!
Like Bean said, won tickets to the Rose Bowl and also a trip for two to Sydney, Australia, including round-trip airfare from Los Angeles, a minimum two-night hotel stay, two tickets to the Green Day show. And $500 spending cash.
Wow, a two-night hotel stay in Australia.
Minimum.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means that's all you get? Minimum two.
I feel like
could be more.
That's all we pay for.
At least for 48 hours.
I think that's all we pay for. Maybe you can stay longer if you choose to. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to put
Maybe we're going to pay for more and we're not, and you just have to check that morning.
Just keep calling.
We have to check our stock to see how the prices are before we let you know if we can go the extra mile or not and spring for another night at the hotel.
Well, that's an awesome, awesome prize, James. And I hope you get the message, and I hope we hear back from you because congratulations to you. That's awesome. Way to go.
All right, 7:55, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph Garman.
Before I get to show business news, let me give away something pretty cool. Who couldn't use $100?
Sure.
It's like $100?
Yes, please.
I've got a gift card available to you that is courtesy of CNN.
We have a winner,
no,
believe it or
don't.
Not.
We don't. I don't believe it because I haven't even asked the trivia question yet.
And they won.
It's in celebration of CNN's new original series, which I have been looking forward to now for months since I heard about it. They do great documentary series over there on CNN. I don't know if you guys watched at all the Tom Hanks produced Decades series where they do documentaries on the
yes.
60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Playtone has done some amazing work with those documentaries. Now there's a new documentary on CNN called The History of Comedy.
Yay!
Which starts this Thursday at 10 p.m. on CNN, and it tracks the evolution of comedy from stand-up to, from vaudeville to stand-up to television, movies, any different permutation of comedy in America will be examined in this documentary, and I can't wait for
it. Everybody's in it, right, Ralph?
Yeah, it's terrific, and they've got an enormous cast of people that they've interviewed. It's really comprehensive, and
we got a winner!
No, you don't. I haven't asked the trivia question yet.
Nelly.
It premieres Thursday. And the first episode is going to be the evolution of inappropriate humor, which, as you know, I'm a big, big fan of.
Same.
So
Yeah, thanks to CNN for making this possible. They're giving away a $100 Visa gift card. And here's some trivia. Speaking of inappropriate comedy. Here's your question. If you can answer this, and you're the first person through it, 1-800-520-1067, you will win a $100 Visa gift card from CNN. Here's the question. Which controversial comedian was a former evangelical preacher who performed the darker side of comedy? Speaking of inappropriate comedy, why don't you call right now, 1-800-H2O. Isn't there an H in one of our songs, in one of our phone numbers, Kevin?
I heard somebody say that earlier.
Well, one of our numbers has an H in it.
I think it's silent.
It sounded suspect.
Yeah. A silent H?
Silent H.
Oh, okay. Then it's 1-800-520-1067. I thought maybe it was H2O. Maybe there was an H in one of our numbers. No? I thought I heard that on the radio.
You did.
First person through with the right answer will get that $100 Visa gift card. Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Split. Still number one, $14.6 million made it number one for its third week in a row. M. Night Shyamalan tweeted over the weekend that he's working on his next script, and it looks like it may be a sequel to Split. So if you like that, then you'll like it.
What a comeback!
Rings debuted with $13 million, making it number two at the box office. A Dog's Purpose, Hidden Figures, and La La Land came in at number five. Resident Evil, the final chapter. Not really, though.
Not really at all.
Sixth. Sing, Lion, The Space Between Us, and XXX, The Return of Xander Cage were your top 10 movies at the box office. Kristen Stewart was the host of Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Apparently, she was so excited, she just couldn't help herself as she dropped an F-bomb during her opening monologue.
All right.
People, they're a little nervous at Saturday Night Live, but no one seems to be too upset.
Because
she
was
hilarious. This is the coolest effing thing before catching herself, she said. And it wasn't bleeped. Got out there on the East Coast feed and... Look, what are you going to do? Does
right?
anyone really care at
Happens.
This point where the F-bomb is dropped on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Are we beyond that? So. She was not good. However, the rest of the show was very good.
Oh, okay.
Including the
in spite
sketch
of her.
Everyone is talking about, which was Melissa McCarthy and a special guest appearance as Press Secretary Sean Spicer. And it was maybe one of the top three funniest sketches I've seen on Saturday Night Live in the history of the program.
Wow.
It was so brilliantly written and then performed by Melissa McCarthy, who made you wish she was a regular on that show.
Yeah, so good.
It was pretty remarkable. So check it out online if you haven't seen it over the
And I got to give Lorne Michaels, whoever, I assume it's Lorne who comes up with who's going to play who when he brings in outsiders.
Yes, I'm the one who chooses them.
I mean, I would not have thought of Alec Baldwin for Trump, and he's great. Melissa McCarthy certainly would not have been in my top 1,000 thoughts for Sean Spicer, and she was perfect.
Hmm.
So funny.
There you go.
Hmm.
Bean is letting Lauren know that he might know more about Saturday Night Live.
I'm just complimenting however it works over there. They're doing a good job.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Lauren Michaels does a good job.
That's
with a show that he's had on the air for 40 years.
That is correct.
Apparently he's getting the hang of it now. Lauren Michaels is.
That's what I'm saying.
You're a miracle.
He's good at what he does.
Right. We need another jingle, Captain Obvious. We need that as well.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, we have to get a trivia question answered here.
We do.
Mike in Downey, California. I believe he's got the correct answer. Mike?
Good morning.
Good morning. What inappropriate comedian was actually previously in another incarnation in his life, an evangelical preacher?
Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison.
Yeah!
Hard to believe.
It is. I'd like to be a member of his church when he was the pastor.
Yeah.
No! No! You're kidding!
Yeah. Congratulations. Hold on, Mike. We'll give you the details, but you win a $100 Visa gift card.
Right on. Thank you.
Thanks to CNN.
Come on, Ed. There's got to be a catch.
There's no catch.
No catch at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Axl Rose is 55 years old today. Tom Roha. This is Tom Roha. How many years old am I? Dane DeHaan, very talented young actor, is 31 years old. And Rick Astley is 51.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
I'm Rob.
Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll be talking more Super Bowl stuff coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're especially going to want to hear from any Patriots fans that drove away from a party at halftime.
Yep.
Realizing they just didn't want to be there for the misery of watching their team get shellacked.
Or even at the third quarter.
Even at the third quarter, Patriots fans who gave up on their team. We want to hear from you, and we'll talk some more about that coming up. First, though, here's some big restaurant news. I don't really know too many people who go to Hooters for the food, but apparently they are taking the food to a spinoff restaurant, Kevin, called Hoots.
Yeah. Why?
Well, let's find out. Here's the report from New York News.
Hooters will be opening a new-style restaurant called Hoots in the suburbs of Chicago. Hoots is set to open mid-February and will be losing the bust-revealing t-shirts and adding male servers for the brand. The fast casual eatery will also have takeout options and a full bar. The 75-seater location is geared towards competing against places like Panera and Chipotle's counter-service streamlined menus. CEO Terry Marks said, "It's a logical extension of the brand and will provide more people with more opportunities to enjoy our world-famous wings. But don't worry, you can still visit a Hooters restaurant with the classic uniforms at a location near you."
Is it a natural extension of the brand to
take the only thing
that makes Hooters stand out and do away with that and then just become generic like every other restaurant?
Wings, Bean. They do wings.
World famous.
I hear their wings are not that good is what I hear.
They're okay. Yeah. That's it.
But you never go great for the food, right?
Well, I mean, no.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't like it, but maybe I'm missing out on something. I'm no expert when it comes to the restaurant business. So we asked Dave if there anyone we could talk to, and the manager of Hoots is on the phone right now. This is going to be Glenn Reed. Good morning, Mr. Reed. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Well, we're doing fine.
Let me ask, how many times have you been to Hooters? What's your Hooters experience been like, guy who doesn't like Hooters so much?
Kevin, you and I went to a Hooters.
No, just you. How many Hooters do you go to? How many?
Kevin and I went to a Hooters once about 20 years ago when we were traveling.
20 years ago. Okay. Right. Just needed to know. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello.
Has it gotten significantly better since then, Glenn?
Let me tell you something. Hoots is an amazing restaurant,
okay.
And we've got the world-famous wings. We've streamlined our menu, and none of those annoying boobs, okay? So you're not like, oh, boobs. Hey, look at that boobs over there. Okay. Look at those boobs. No, it's just focusing on what matters, which is food and fun. Hello, goodbye.
Is there a problem with boobs where people go, I love the food there, but sure hate boobs?
Well, it's not just for some people aren't all that into boobs, okay?
Right.
Mr. Boobie Head
well,
Man.
I don't know that we need to call names.
Okay.
I think what Kevin is suggesting is a lot of people enjoyed that about
Boobie Head Man there. That's your name now. Now it's yours. I hope you're happy.
Right,
there
but I think
it. Hello, goodbye.
I think there are a lot of people who that's what they liked about Hooters was that
well,
you were guaranteed.
I didn't like it, okay?
You didn't care for it, okay.
And that's why I said, forget the Hooters, how about the Hoots? And that's why we got Hoots now. And, hello, we have male employees now. Thank you, goodbye.
Okay, but again, aren't you just like every, I mean, why not go to Applebee's? It's the same thing as Hoots now, right?
No, it's not, because we've got our world-famous wings.
Oh, world-famous wings, right.
And
okay.
We have the male Hoot boys now.
Do they have a special outfit?
Yeah, they do.
Uh-huh.
That's my outfit right there.
It's not an outfit, I don't think.
You should. Well, why don't you put it on and see?
Oh, wow.
Booby Head Man.
Booby Head Man.
We have
Step up.
An amazing menu, and people now can come for the food and without being uncomfortable to bring their wives or their girlfriends or their families. It's not all about big cleavage. Now it's about things that matter, like an amazing menu. Please try some, won't you?
Anything in particular on the menu that you're a fan of, Glenn?
Our menu is amazing. First of all, it's the world famous wings.
Right, got the wings.
Gotta love those.
Right.
We have several different kinds of French fry. We've got the curly.
Right.
We have the straight.
Mm-hmm.
We have the slightly bent fries.
I've never
had
slightly bent.
For those who aren't quite sure which way they go, it's sort of a bent fry.
All right.
A curious fry. Mm. A fry that's curious about what it's going to be. Will it be curly? Will it be straight? We don't know. It all depends on the evening, I suppose.
Yeah, but there's a lot of drama as the food comes out.
And of course, our beverages, world famous beverages. We've got 17 different kinds of brewed beers
wow.
for you to have. And if you're not into alcoholic drinks,
I like orange juice.
Nope.
I like orange juice.
Yes, I do too.
Grape
no,
juice?
No, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no.
Tomato juice?
Tomato
no,
juice?
No, no,
no, no, no, no, no. Carrot juice?
No, 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 no. I like orange juice.
Yeah.
Right, Hoots?
Right?
Right, Mr. Boobyhead.
Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth! What a comeback!
That's Allie's new ringtone, by the way.
Sure.
I thought Joe Buck did a great job, as he often does, calling the big game last night. What'd you guys think?
Same.
Sure.
I was very bummed out. You know, we had him on the show last week, and I was trying to nail him down on whether he was going to use Houston, we have a problem in the event that the game was a runaway. And when Atlanta scored that third touchdown, it was 21-0. I was like, come on, Joe, do it. Do it. But he was able to avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah, what a shame.
I mean, it would have been perfect.
It would have been.
And I think Terry Bradshaw made some – what was the thing he said at the end? Do you guys remember? He said something like, Houston, the Patriots have landed. It's what he said at the end of the ceremony.
No.
God bless you.
He just –
Terry.
He's like your scary uncle that's not quite all there.
Right.
I do worry about – look, I think Terry's great on – I love him on TV. He's getting up there now.
Yeah.
He's starting to get a little scattered sometimes. And then, of course, when he got that stain on his shirt, it was a little uncomfortable, all the lengths that he went to try to get to the tide, you know. But anyway, so congratulations to Allie and her Patriots. I'm sure that you had heard from a lot of listeners, I would imagine, on the social media last night, Allie.
I did. Some of them so delightful.
Are they real happy for you, though?
I especially liked all the ones that were linking me.
We even mentioned this in the pregame when they threw it to the Bill O'Reilly Donald Trump speech. It's hard to separate politics from anything anymore. Everybody is looking at everything through a political view. And what? What are you laughing about? What's happening?
I just had to get out of the delay for Allie again.
I forgot.
What did she say?
Call me your tea.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay,
see,
continue.
It's ridiculous.
Sorry.
That you can't say that on the radio.
Sorry,
I apologize, Pete.
But it's still true, though, just like last time when
right.
You said it.
When you said it last time, we couldn't put it on either.
I was saying, to reference Allie's point about how people were trying to link the Patriots win to the white supremacists, and people like Richard Spencer last night, he's the punch a Nazi in the face guy. He was tweeting all about white power and everything last night. Mm-hmm. He's so happy for Tom Brady because he's, you know, Aryan God and all that kind of stuff. But there are a lot of people who were rooting against the Patriots just because they're all friends with Donald Trump. So I guess it did kind of get dragged into it that way, kind of guilt by association, because Robert Kraft is friends with Mr. Trump and Tom Brady had the hat and the locker and everything like that. But we don't need that in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't think we need any of that. Was there we talked about this earlier, Allie, and we do want to hear from people who, especially if you're a Patriots fan, if you left the party, if you bailed on where you were because you were convinced that your boys had lost. We do want to hear your stories at 1-800-520-1067.
Or you were at home and you turned it off. Just
however,
did you stop watching before you saw the world's greatest comeback in NFL history?
Do you think we'll find some of those people? I hope so. I feel like the Super Bowl is one thing that even if you like left the party because you didn't want to be around people watching your team get lost, you know, lose so badly, I feel like you'd still pay attention.
It must have been such a bummer, though, if you're a Patriots fan to get destroyed and nothing even gave you the idea that they were going to turn around and come back.
There wasn't a lot of hope there.
No. So
yeah, even if you know how great Tom Brady is at coming back in the fourth quarter, the hole was so deep that he was in that you thought they could play perfectly and still there's no way they'll be able to make up 25 points. So we definitely want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. You at some point, Allie, recognized that the game was over and that they were going to lose.
Yeah.
But you stuck
it out. She started cutting. A lot of people don't know that. She's a cutter.
I am not at all. I did stick it out. I actually left the pool house area that I was in to really watch the game, and I moved into the main party. And I thought, you know what?
You went back in with the people?
I just want to be around these people. It's fine. It's over. It's not looking great. But you know what? I'd rather be social than alone in the pool house, except for my friend Jackie. Big ups to Jackie that spent some time out there with me. But yeah, it was a weird feeling going back into that room and people just booing me. My friend Michelle just thumbs down, walking past me. It was hurtful.
Love that.
But then it got real quiet.
Did it? Everyone else all of a sudden shut up?
Yeah.
And then what happened at the end, huh?
Yeah. Went to overtime and you could hear a pin drop.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
The teams who win games like this, it seems like they need at least, you know, one or two amazing but lucky break. You need a lucky break or two. They had five or six. And not just lucky. I mean, they caused some of them, but...
Yeah. Right. That Edelman catch, I still don't know
what happened. That
Edelman
catch is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, unreal.
And the reason it was a catch is because the ball was resting on the player under him's leg, right?
Never hit the ground.
Never hit the ground. And that's just fortuitous. I mean,
that's him making that play.
Right.
I mean, when you need a play to be made and you have somebody that can stand up and do it, that makes a huge difference. And that really was a crazy fourth quarter.
One of my favorite...
I'm not even a Patriots fan, but I loved that fourth quarter.
One of my favorite memes was, it says, you need a field goal, two touchdowns, and two-point conversions to take this to overtime. That's impossible. And then a picture of Brady saying, hold my beer.
All right, let's talk to Charlene. She may be the person we're looking for. The Patriots fan who just gave up realizing there's no way they're coming back. She's in L.A. She's on line two. She's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Charlene.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. So, Patriots fan?
Yes. No, actually, I'm not a Patriots fan. Well, I was, but I kind of wanted them to lose because the Falcons deserve to win. So, I figured, I turn off the TV around the third quarter. I'm like, they're not going to catch up. So, I turn off the TV. And I was talking to my friend. I'm like, oh, dude, I told you they were going to win. And then so I find out on Facebook that they won the Super Bowl. And I was yelling. And she's like, I told you. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe they won. And I'm like, why? I just missed, like, the big moment. And I turned off my TV. And I was so mad.
It's so weird that you wanted the Falcons to win, yet you turned it off when it looked evident that they were going to win. You're mixed up, Charlene.
I honestly thought the Falcons would take it because I was like, what's the point of watching if they're going to... It was like the score was obvious. So
all right. Sure. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to John Downey, line 7, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. John, also a Patriots fan. What's going on, man? How was your night?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just went to the wrong line. John, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how are we doing today? Basically, I'm not really a Patriots fan. Just love the fit. They love the game. Was rooting for the Patriots, rooting for Tom Brady. Was at a party, you know, it was kind of... You know, a bunch of kids outside and just hanging out with my kids and just kind of making sure they weren't, you know, going to get into too much trouble with a bunch of Falcon fans there.
Right, because those Falcon fans.
You know how those Falcons fans are, right?
Yeah, right. And so left at halftime. Luckily, you know, I live close to the, you know, to where the party was and get home and just tell my wife. I said, don't count out greatness. I said, did I get a stop?
Oh, come on. I left, but I said, don't count out greatness.
I said, don't count. I said, we...
You're terrible, John.
Yeah. John, even I don't believe you.
Seriously, John.
Look,
you can't leave the game at halftime and then the next day walk around strutting your stuff going, don't count out greatness because you counted out greatness.
John, get off my phone.
Get off my phone.
He's back.
Let's go to Lauren in Chino Hills. That guy was ridiculous, right?
Yes, but yes,
then
he was.
Everybody, don't count out greatness.
F you. All right, Lauren, hi.
Hi. So I am a Patriots fan, born and raised in Massachusetts. So I really love Allie. My daughter and I were at a party yesterday with some new friends. And I walked into the party like, we're all rooting for the Patriots, right? And just got like silent.
Complete silence, sure.
I know the feeling. So
Never ask that question, Lauren.
It didn't feel good.
I mean, you know that most of the country outside of New England really not only doesn't root for, but despises the
Patriots, actively roots against.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, being the only person there, I took my daughter being a little fussy as an excuse to leave when it was 28-9.
Right. I'm sorry, everybody, but I got to take care of my daughter. So.
She's 17.
She's really tired. Got to go home. And so I ended up watching like the comeback alone on my couch on the computer.
Oh, you
no, on the computer.
And you so would have been able to rub it in if you'd still been at that party.
I would have grabbed my kid and headed back to the party.
We're going right back in.
Yeah. I texted my friend like, hey, is there any air left in that room?
All right, Lauren. Hey, don't count out greatness. Thanks for the call. Let's do one one more. Let's go to line four, please. Whittier, this is going to be Stephen. This may be the greatest of all the Patriots fans who left the party stories.
Stephen, hi.
How's it going? Good. Hey, I just want to say I love you guys, man. I've been listening to you guys every day for the last 4 years on my way to work.
Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate that.
And let me tell you why you guys are so great. Actually, I was at a Super Bowl party yesterday, and around halftime, my phone started acting up. It was acting all weird, so I'm like, you know, forget this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to Verizon. The score was ridiculous. It was like 21 to something. So I actually ended up going home, getting really frustrated and annoyed because my phone wasn't working, so I fell asleep. I ended up going to work this morning around 6 in the morning, which is around the time you guys go on, and I found out the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Oh, no. You didn't find out until this morning?
Breaking news, Kevin and B.
Because of you guys.
And wow.
I was like, oh, Allie must be ecstatic right now because I know she's a huge Pat fan, too.
That's
and I'm
so
like,
funny.
Oh, my goodness, I bet $20 on the Patriots. I get to work today, and they're like, here's your $100.
Sweet.
And I was like, this day got so much better.
But, Steven, let me just ask you a question. Who's so worried about their phone? I mean, don't you just turn your phone off, put it in your pocket, watch the second half?
Well, the thing I was
who leaves and goes to Verizon?
I was with 27 other Falcons fans, and I was the only Pats fan in the room.
Oh, okay, so yeah. They were hassling
I was like,
you. And
I don't want to be here, this constant berating for my friends.
Oh, Steven, had you stayed, can you imagine how much fun you could have had?
I would have walked out with my middle fingers up, man.
Right. Yep.
And when
and
you
don't count out greatness as well.
When you tuned in this morning.
Definitely. I counted out greatness. I messed up.
I
Steven, when you heard us talking about the unbelievable all-time greatest comeback in football history, you must have thought for a second, these guys can't be serious, right? There's no way that really happened.
I thought it was April 1st or something like that. I'm like, I felt like someone died. I was like, I can't believe this right now.
I feel like someone died.
It was just so shocking to me. It's like, I could have witnessed that. It's like the guys who left early during that one Miami Heat game last year where they came back from like 30-something points.
Yeah, exactly. You guys remember Beer Mug and his mom who left the game, the World Series,
Dodgers,
in the Dodgers.
Yeah.
When Kirk Gibson hit that home run. And they heard about it from a waiter.
Well, Chinese food.
Right. You'll never forget this Patriots win, that's for sure, Stephen. Glad we could be a tiny part of
it.
Everyone's
going to lie about it. Everybody's going to lie about it. They're all going to say they were
there. Yeah, no, I didn't leave. I was there.
All right. Thanks for calling, dude. Thanks for listening, too.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman time, and I wanted to ask Ralph, before you get into showbiz, any words for Batman Lego movie?
Yes,
How is it?
It is... We'll talk about it on Friday, a movie bee. We'll save it up for Friday, right? Let's save it up.
Nothing?
It's great, Bean.
You didn't see it, Kevin.
Nope.
How was the experience with you and your fellow co-stars from the movie doing the red carpet and all that nonsense the other night? Was that fun?
It wasn't nonsense, first of all.
Well, you know,
we had a great time on Saturday. They had the world premiere at the Bruin Theater there in Westwood, and it was a blast. They had a daytime party. Usually with a premiere, they'll do an evening screening and an evening party. But since this movie is mainly for families and kids, they had a big daytime event with like an ice rink, and there was crafts for the kids, and a candy bar. You got a bag, and you go down there and walk the candy bar and fill up your bag. And
fun.
Batman and Batgirl and Robin were all there, Lego Batman and the cast. And then we went to see the movie, and everybody had a blast. It was great, and the movie's terrific, and everyone had a wonderful time, including...
Well, good. Well, congratulations on being in that. That's cool.
You go. It's fine. How about movies at the box office on a Monday, like Split, making $14.6 million, number one for the third week in a row. Split, wild success, outperforming even, I think, M. Night Shyamalan's expectations, but he's very happy, and he has announced over the weekend he is planning what appears to be a sequel. I have an 11-page outline for my next film in my bag. I can't tell you what it is, but if you've seen Split, ... he tweeted.
What a comeback!
Rings debuted with $13 million, making number two. A Dog's Purpose, number three. Hidden Figures was fourth. La La Land came in at number five. Resident Evil, the final chapter, came in at number six. Then Sing, Lion, the Space Between Us, and Triple X, the Return of Xander Cage, came in at number 10. I have a quandary, a conundrum.
Okay.
I hate it when Jimmy Fallon sings on his late night show, The Tonight Show.
Same.
And yet I love it when James Corden sings on his late night TV talk show. Please explain.
James Corden is likable. James Corden is also a great singer.
He is very
talented.
He's
been on Broadway. He's done so much. And he does it for the love of it. He's not doing it for the show me aspect.
Yeah, to me, Jimmy Fallon is all about Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Hey, look at who I'm singing with. I'm singing. It drives me crazy.
James Corden did a very funny segment at the end of last week where he was talking about how Queen is going out on tour again. They've announced a big North American tour with Adam Lambert of American Idol fame to be the front man for that band. And James Corden complained basically that when he was a kid, Queen was the most important band in the world to him. And he always dreamed that someday he would be the front man for Queen. And he thought that Adam Lambert was pretty subpar as a choice. First of all, not British. He thought a Brit right. should be the lead.
Sure.
Should be the front man for that band. And also just not that impressed. And, of course, Adam Lambert walked out on stage at that point and challenged him to a Queen off. And Corden said, I would do it, but it's really pointless because Queen isn't here. And Adam Lambert said, oh, really? And the doors opened, and there was Brian May and
That's pretty cool.
Roger Taylor. They were there, and then they were forced to do a Queen off. And they went back and forth comparing Queen songs. Adam Lambert, by the way.
Oh, insane.
What a singer.
Yeah. What an
unreal,
incredible voice that guy's got. But I got to tell you, Corden held his own. Here he is doing Don't Stop Me Now.
So don't stop me now. Don't stop me because I'm having a good time. Having a good time. I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger. Defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by a lady good driver. I want to go, go, go. There's no stopping me.
Wow.
Did pretty well to hold his own.
That's really good.
Of course, Adam Lambert stopped him at that point. He said, don't stop me now. It's right in the lyrics. Don't stop me now. It's a very funny sketch. You can find that online if you're so inclined.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
I'm very excited about James Corden hosting the Grammys this weekend.
I am too. I think he's
Same.
Very charming, entertaining.
After all those years of sitting through the host to get to the rest of the Grammys, this year we could actually
You're not going to give that up, are you? You're going to hold on to that.
It's a real upgrade.
It's a real beef, real feud.
It's a one-way beef.
One-way feud going on between Bean and LL Cool J.
Did I mention I wasn't a fan of his work as the host on the Grammys?
You should have brought it up.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
You know, this true crime stuff now is all the rage on television. Ever since the wild success that FX had with the OJ story.
That was so great.
Everybody's doing true crime stuff now. NBC has announced Law & Order True Crime. That's going to be a new series. Well, they will take actual stories and represent them on television. And then ABC did Truth and Lies, the Menendez Brothers. That was a top 20 show. And now they're doing another Menendez Brothers movie about those two brothers who allegedly killed their parents. Edie Falco, it has been announced, will be playing Leslie Abramson, the defense attorney for the Menendez Brothers. And that will be the kickoff for this Law & Order True Crime on NBC. So I think that's great casting. She's a terrific actress, and I think that that woman was terrifying. So I think she'll be a perfect choice for that.
Ali, you must be so excited. There's so much more murder on TV now than ever before.
Oh, from TV, podcasts, everything. So much murder.
Murder's very hot right now.
It is. Super hot.
And Kim Kardashian did an interview over the weekend talking about how she knew Kanye West was the one. And she said she knew it when he turned on the heater in his home during a sleepover because she can't stand air conditioning. So it was a summer night, but she didn't want the air conditioning on, so he's willing to put the heat on for her.
Oh.
I would just throw her out of my house.
Deal breaker?
Just one of many. Here's the thing. She lists all the other things she can't stand. She hates blue cheese, cilantro, can't eat anything with mustard, no peppers, does not like red velvet of any kind. Will not drink Starbucks with a sleeve on the cup. Can't bear. She's got a list of things that she can't live without.
Too much work. Thank you.
So much work.
Yeah.
Who is more annoying? That's the list of things that come from a person who's coddled their whole entire life.
Yeah. I can't drink the Starbucks with a sleeve on the cup.
Look, she's really, 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 really hot, but she's not hot enough to jump through all those hoops to be with her. That's crazy.
How could you explain that?
I don't know, bruh. Sorry for the realness.
I'm sorry for the realness.
We all are. Today's celebrity birthday is Dane DeHaan. Celebrates his 31st birthday. Singer Rick Astley is 51. Axl Rose turns 55. And newsman Tom Brokaw celebrates his 77th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sure. Do I have to start it now or can I
yes.
wait?
Yes. Hit the button. Let's hear it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
No
still
H.
Afro with an H?
There's no H. Yeah.
Half-ro?
Nope.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I like it. Hey, update, Ralph. Phones are still down.
I know.
And so I'm trying to get Dave to let people text in to win your tickets that you have to give away.
Right.
But he says that we no longer have access to that, that the platform is down also, that we can't receive texts.
Oh, this
I'm not sure if that applies anyway. I don't think it's a good idea to call an Audible on a giveaway because there's laws and stuff and things in place and rules and things. So I don't think you can just call an Audible. I don't think you just go on the fly and just make up a new game.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
You don't think that would be fair to say text in to win?
I don't know, and neither do you is the problem. So we need to not just do that. And
it's
have...
not really our problem, though. That's how I look at it. Somebody else's problem if it doesn't work out, right?
What if the texting thing doesn't work, though, Bean? Then what do we do?
Well, now we can't, so it doesn't matter now. It's a moot point. So we can't. So we got no phones, and we got no texting.
Let's do a carrier pigeon game,
I like it.
Then.
I like it.
Just find a pigeon and tie your name to its leg.
I like that, too. Are we sure that this thing is still on? Are we sure we can even be heard anymore?
No.
Oh, we're never sure of that. No.
Okay.
No.
Look, even if it is on, there's no guarantee anyone's hearing us right
yes,
now.
Yes, true.
Right?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Monday morning usually means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And today is no exception. Split, still number one at the box office, $14.6 million at the box office, made it number one for a third week. Then Rings did pretty well in its debut with $13 million, made it number two. A Dog's Purpose, Hidden Figures, and La La Land were the top five movies at the box office. Resident Evil, the final chapter. Not really final. Sixth at the box office, Sing, Lie in the Space Between Us. And Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, were your top 10 films. A lackluster weekend box office usually accompanies Super Bowl weekend, and looks like that was the case this weekend as well. Don't worry. Next weekend, big things are doing.
All right.
Like Lego Batman, I'm saying. Number one. I'm calling it now. I'm calling my shot. Lego Batman, number one next weekend, I'm guessing. Speaking of movies, John Lithgow has been added to the cast of Pitch Perfect 3. Oh, John. Come on. Come on, John. You're in the freaking Crown. You're Winston Churchill.
Are you afraid maybe he didn't read it?
Just saying.
Just saying yes, basically.
Didn't people love those first two movies, Ralph?
Some people did.
All right.
People who like to play with cups.
Well, there's that.
Cups people liked it.
But John Lithgow.
Look, he elevates everything that he is in. So I'm looking forward to...
Not ever. No way.
...hearing how he does in that film, because I'm not going to see it.
Not once, not never. Nope.
Sad news in Hollywood. All funny actors... are gone. There's no more funny actors in Hollywood.
Well, that's...
How did
that
happen?
Distressing news.
It is distressing news. All funny performers apparently have disappeared.
Oh, oh man.
Yeah. Because ABC is giving a sitcom to Jalen Rose.
Yay!
Of the NBA?
You heard me.
That Jalen Rose?
Yes. He's getting his own sitcom on ABC because I can only imagine the only possible reason could be all funny performers... in Hollywood have mysteriously disappeared or been taken ill.
Does the plot revolve around a former NBA player and maybe they feel like he brings some experience to that role or some believability to that role maybe?
Yes, it does, Bean. It's called Jalen versus Everybody. And it apparently is about Jalen Rose juggling his career responsibilities with the challenges of being a single dad. Well, only an NBA player could pull that off. Responsibilities at a career and then a child. Thank God he was available because they would just have to put that project on the shelf until Charles Barkley came around.
I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush here, but there can't be very many single dads in the NBA, right? Bean at krock.com.
Yeah. Jalen versus everybody.
Everyone's worrying and it's a mess.
Right.
It's America Corporation. Hey, at least we're alive.
It's yeah. true.
It's a good point, Rodney.
When
thank you.
Fails.
Tube tops forever.
Right.
Tube tops forever.
That too.
I'm going to be at the Tube Top March. I think it's coming up this weekend. Rubbing out there. Standing up. This is cool. I like the Supergirl and CW because they pay homage. All the CW shows, they kind of pay homage to the folks who came before them when it comes to those superhero TV shows. Like John Wesley Shipp, for example, who played Flash in the 90s. He's on the CW's Flash, plays Barry Allen's dad and Jay Garrick, the other Flash. And on Supergirl, you've got Dean Cain, who was Superman, of course, playing her adopted father. Helen Slater, who was Supergirl in the movies, playing her mother. And they've just announced Terry Hatcher is going to be joining the cast.
Right.
Of course, played Lois Lane on Clark and Lois, Lois and Clark, back in the day. She is going to play a villainess, and they're bringing another superhero into the cast, Kevin Sorbo, who, of course, you know as Hercules, has also been added to the cast this season of Supergirl. So a lot of familiar faces are going to be in the cast, and I'm looking forward to it.
When's the big
love that show.
Four-episode or four-series crossover? When's all that happening,
March.
Rob? Is that saving that for sweeps or something?
Yeah, March right. 20th and 21st, I think, is going to be the back-to-back Supergirl and Flash episodes featuring Music Meister. I am the Music Meister. I make you sing. Or something to that effect.
Does that sound like a terrifying villain?
You don't know, man.
I really
he
don't
know. He can make
know.
You sing, Bean.
Right, but how?
You have no control over it.
Right?
But what is what's the result of that? If
you sing.
If he walks
what's
in
wrong
and,
with you?
And then I start singing, I don't understand how does that accomplish his
It's hard to fight crime while you're singing.
Well, okay. Take your word for it.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Brokaw is 77 years old today. Tom Brokaw. Yes, the anchor of the NBC Nightly is now 77 years old. I'm still working occasionally for ABC on CNBC and other ABC affiliates. Axl Rose is 55 years old today. Singer Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up.
I mean.
Never gonna let you
I mean.
Down.
He's 51 years old today, an actor Dane DeHaan. Do 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 do. A Dane DeHaan. Do 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 do. A Dane DeHaan. Do 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 do. He is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon, 5 p.m. on the world famous K-Rock with a commercial-free hour of music. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, the downside to being beautiful.
Right?
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 Tell me.
Exhausting.
Also, tickets to the Lumineers, which we are doing all week long. Tickets to see them at the Grammy Museum, and you qualify for a trip for two to see them in Cape Town, South Africa. And tomorrow morning, The Bachelor Report.
Yay!
With Ralph and Petros.
I was just chatting with my buddy Chris B. Harrison this morning,
mm-hmm.
the host of The Bachelor. And he says he wants to come on and
all
talk
right.
some Bachelor.
Fantastic.
So he's busy this week. He's out of town traveling, but maybe next week. He said, trust me, the best is yet to come. We haven't even scratched
really?
The surface.
Is that right?
So, he will come on later this season, and he will give us the lowdown on what's been happening.
Did he give you any indication how he feels about trying to make America Corinne again? Is he into it? Is he loving it?
I think he is. I think they all are. You have
sure.
You'd have to be if you're part of that show. You have to thank the reality TV gods for Corinne, right? Because
right.
she has been magic this season.
Yeah. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.